You're listening to a podcast from 702.
702. World of Work.
We are discussing employee retention today. Sometimes you've got companies that focus too much on employees who are resigning to take up other opportunities, and they counter offer and do everything possible to retain them. And then they forget about employees who are loyal to the company, right? And who have chosen to stay. So I want us to talk about how employers can retain their top performing employees so that they're not easily enticed by other opportunities. And those who have chosen to stay with the company for long without entertaining other opportunities. And I want to hear from you. Are you finding it difficult as an employer to retain your employees? Right? How do you keep your employees from leaving? Are you currently satisfied with your job? And what are some of the reasons why people end up leaving companies? Why is it difficult for you as employers to retain your workers? Dr. Annette Snyman is a lecturer in the Department of Human Resource Management at UNISA and is going to guide us through this discussion. And I'll be taking your calls on 011-883-0702. The WhatsApp line is 072-702-1702. Dr. Snyman, thank you for making time. Good morning.
Good morning. Thank you for having me. And good morning to the listeners.
What's normally the reason why people leave companies and why employers are failing to retain them?
Well, in my research, I found that the main reason why employees leave their employment is because their expectations within the employment contract, within this relationship, is not being met. So this is called what I researched, the psychological contract, which is an unwritten contract. It's not the things that is normally outlined in your employment contract, but it's perceived promises and expectations within the organization and within this relationship, and also the interpersonal relationship that employees have with their supervisors, which plays a critical role in retention of staff.
And what do employers need to do if they want to retain staff? So not only meeting those contracts and the obligations, but even, as you say, the psychological contracts. What are they doing wrong, resulting in them failing to with this employee retention project?
Well, simply put, employers need to ensure that promises and commitments made to employees are adhered to. But obviously the question is, how can this be done? And the solution is to create realistic expectations from the moment employment starts, by introducing thorough onboarding and orientation. This is an aspect that's often neglected by companies. These should provide for open and honest discussions between employees and their supervisors. The expectations of both parties need to be clarified and discussed openly so that they can be in line with one another. Performance management systems and practices as well, career development goals, training and development needs, mentoring needs, work-life balance needs should all be discussed openly and honestly between employees and their supervisors. And supervisors in this regard need to be trained to understand the importance of openness and adhering to commitments and having these open and honest relationships. It boils down to the fact that supervisors will not be able to solve all employees' frustrations and problems. But in my research, I found that through open and truthful relationships, employees will feel understood and appreciated, and this will inevitably lead to higher commitment and higher staff turnover.
That's interesting. Looking at the research that you did, how do the perceptions of different racial groups differ?
Well, my research specifically was conducted in a higher education institution in South Africa. So generalizations can't be made to the broader South African workforce. However, my research did find significant differences in the perceptions of different race groups. The Indian and Asian race group and the Black African racial groups, as these were termed in my study and grouped, were found to be significantly more satisfied with the psychological contracts and the organization's retention practices than the white participants. So this might be related to the employment equity legislations and regulations, because which could cause white employees perceiving that more favorable opportunities are provided to non-white employees. Because obviously, because of the discrimination and the lack of opportunities during the past and the persisting inequality that still is in South African workplaces that needs to be eradicated. Mm-hmm. But that might be the reason, this could explain why this perception was evident in my study.
Mm-hmm. What is the solution then? How can these organizations improve this imbalance in the perception of different races?
Well, like all public sector establishments, higher education institutions and all other designated employers must implement the employment equity-related laws and regulations to comply with the target set, but moreover, to, like I said, to eradicate the inequalities from the past. So the legislation is a factor that institutions and management have no control over. However, these institutions need to strengthen the psychological contracts and of all races by focusing on the aspects that they do have control over, while ensuring fairness, equality, and complying with these employment equity regulations. Supervisors should provide adequate support to all employees. They should provide equitable performance management criteria, work-life balance, training and development to all races. The institutions and supervisors on an interpersonal level should maintain fairness, openness and honesty with their employees. You can't control the legislation and the target set, because those are necessary looking at the persisting inequality in South Africa. But employers should focus on the aspects that they do have control over, which is the relationship that they have with their employees.
I'm going to take a quick ad break, Dr. Snyman. When we come back, we'll continue the discussion. But I want to hear from the listeners as well. What's making you stay where you work right now, right? As an employee, right? What's making you not even entertain other offers in the market? But maybe there are offers that are available, opportunities that are available, but you have chosen to stick with your company. I want to know what makes you decide. Or you can tell me about what made you leave the previous company you used to work for, right? That's as an employee. But as an employer, what are you doing to retain staff? And I'll be asking Dr. Snyman the role of money. Is that the most important factor in staff retention? Because there are many other players, right? There's the culture in the workplace, the other things to consider. And I want to know, what is it that you are doing as an employer to retain staff? Maybe you are in HR, right? You're an executive. Maybe you're a supervisor where you work. Please give me a call. Or as an employee, what's making you stay and stick with your company? I'll take those calls and WhatsApp voice notes after this. It's 17 after 11.
702. World of Work.
On our World of Work feature today, we're talking about employee retention. How do you retain your employees? And as employees, what's making you stay in your company? Is it the culture in the company? Is it the money? What is it really that's making you stick with the organization? I've got your voice notes that have been coming through on 072-702-1702.
Morning, Clement. On the issue of why I am with my current employer, the environment is very nice. I moved here about 2.5 years ago, and I was almost 10 years at my previous company. The first 5 years there were okay, were actually fun, but the last 4 years were horrible, because then all the skeletons started creeping out of a closet. You could see that employees were not equal. Some were favored more than others because of the color of their skin. If you applied for positions within the companies, you were blocked, but all the other people were allowed to move. I was blocked 3 times when I wanted to move departments. So it just became unbearable, and then I decided to leave, and I'm happy where I am.
Good morning, Clement. Let's get this thing right. People do not leave companies. People, they leave people. You know, and I've seen it. I'm talking from experience, because you have sometimes a line manager whereby, you know, they are just too loyal to themselves and they build alliances. And whenever you try to bring change on the table, and then it's not taken because they've worked together for years. But what they are not realizing is just that they are running the company to the ground, and you are pointing where the cracks are. They don't want to implement. And when things go wrong, they expect you to fix. Then fine, you fix it. But they resent you for that. So why should you stay? You leave. People leave people, not companies. There's companies I would love to go back to.
All right. Somebody else says, hi, I'm waiting for an offer so I can leave. I don't feel safe in my workplace. I can't even send a voice note because if my boss had it, I would be targeted. Then I would soon be retrenched. That's anonymous there. Dr. Snyman, how big a factor is money? Is it the most important factor in staff retention?
Well, money will always be important. As compensation, we work to make a living, right? But in my research, interestingly, compensation was not found as one of the most important retention factors. However, it's important to note that my research didn't look at which retention practices make employees stay. I investigated specifically whether psychological contract fulfillment could lead to a higher satisfaction within the employment relationship, and so doing lead to lower staff turnover. So I found that through psychological contract interventions and fair distribution of the organization's resources, and especially interpersonal trust relationships with supervisors, employees will feel more satisfied and stay. And one might think distribution of resources refers to compensation, but it does not necessarily. Distribution of all the organization's resources, including training opportunities, opportunities for career development, mentoring, work-life balance, and like that caller said, opportunities to make suggestions for change and opportunities to have your voice heard, having these open and honest discussions and trust relationships with immediate supervisors and the supervisors representing the organization.
It sounds to me like the supervisors have a lot of influence on the decision by some employees to leave who work under them. And I played a voice note now from a listener who says, you know, people don't necessarily leave companies. They leave people.
Yes. We found that over and over again. You don't leave your job, you leave your boss. And I think the from an organizational level, also, employees should be valued, and employees should be, companies as a whole should realize that employees are the most vital asset, and without them, the organization can't flourish and reach its goals. However, the person who is at an interpersonal level, having a trust relationship and working the daily and talking through performance goals and setting these goals and making sure that it's fair and that the employee is also satisfied with a goal set. And when there's expectations, for instance, for training, and there isn't money, so that there's open discussions and their supervisor as well has the chance to clarify from an organizational perspective perhaps what can be done and middle ground can be found.
We've got a call from Tepo in Tembisa. Tepo, good morning.
Good morning, how are you?
I'm good.
Yes, yes. Yeah, I would like to comment about what you've been talking about with companies and so on.
Yeah.
I work for a company whereby I was earning a certain amount of money, and then somebody came along. I was teaching the person basically all the ropes that I can possibly consume in the warehouse and everything. And then Later on, I found out that the person was earning 3 times more than I was earning.
Three times so more than you were earning?
Yes. You can imagine I'm teaching the person work, and at the end of the day, the person is earning more than I do. And that's when I realized that I need to change careers because, like, the color of your skin sometimes works in other companies.
Sure. I mean, what was the... Did you ask your bosses, Tsapo, what the justification was?
I did ask my superior. My superior had nothing to say because the person who was there was... The person was his father and the CEO were friends. So it was bad.
Yeah, no, that's terrible, Tsapo. That's terrible. Yeah. I mean, you're teaching someone the ropes and they're getting paid more than you and you are transferring skills to them. Thanks for calling us. Sorry about that, man. Here's another voice note that came through.
Clement, Mwanamona, the question should be, why are you staying in a company for more than 10 years? You know, Clement, I've been in environments where people have been working in a company from the time they left university. A person has been in a company for 22 years. He does or she does not want to go anywhere, go and check nothing. Wanamuna, let's stop being dinosaurs. Let's give others a chance.
Okay, Namani, thank you. Dr. Sneyman, I mean, some people do appreciate, I mean, some people love companies so much. I know many people who have been with companies for 10 years or so, and maybe that does speak to the appreciation of the company's culture and maybe the opportunities that are available for them. Because I don't imagine someone staying with a company for 10 years and nothing has changed. They're still in the same position. For the company to retain you for that long, at the very least, not only must the culture make sense to you, maybe get paid better, you get an increase, but also the opportunities that are created.
Yes. No, definitely. I think it's a very good sign for an organization if you're able to retain employees for so long, because imagine the amount of skill and knowledge that person has gained over the years. And like you say, someone won't stay for that long period of time if they aren't being developed, if they aren't being given promotions or opportunities to develop their careers or train themselves or to advance. So, yes, I think it's a good sign of a very, very healthy psychological contract and of a, you know, satisfaction within the employment relationship. So, yes, one might think, yes, you must move on and develop, but if you are developing and flourishing within your organization, then what's the problem?
Yeah, exactly. Thank you for joining us, Dr. Annette Sneyman. I really appreciate your time. She's the lecturer in the Department of Human Resource Management at UNISA, speaking to us about employee retention.